This is also an anniversary for many of us of a certain age. 43 years ago today, JFK was assassinated. And as I was driving here, the song just kept going through my head. Each evening from December to December, as you drift to sleep upon your cot, think back upon the glories that you remember from Camelot. Make sure each one has heard the story and tell it loud and clear if he has not, that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that was known as Camelot. Well, today we may know more about Camelot of reality and illusion, just as today we may know more reality and illusion about that first Thanksgiving. It was not as pretty, and the promises, as we have taught our children and we have been taught, there was a dark side to it. And in both cases, there are promises that were not kept. But it is the promises that are important. The Camelot of Kennedy had a dark side to it. Our relationship with this continent, its indigenous people, and the people whom we imported for work and slavery has had a terrible side to it. And yet, we don't have to throw away all of the story and all of the myths. When we're involved in religion, there are two important things to be aware of. And I have to admit that I got this theological insight from Mort Saul, who said, everything I tell you is true, much of it is factual. And the difference between truth and fact is important. The facts of Camelot, either the Kennedy Camelot or King Arthur's Camelot, the facts of Thanksgiving are not all that pretty. The truths are pretty because they can inspire us to keep a promise that we believe was made, a promise to be a better country, to be better people, to have a wider embrace of diversity, to allow ourselves not simply to tolerate the other, but to celebrate the other, to understand that we are enriched by it. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday and holy day. And it's not just because it's food, family, and football, the kind of holy trifecta for guys. It is also time travel. Time travel not simply back to what did or didn't happen with the pilgrims, but time travel to youth, in the way the smell of a Madeleine in another room triggered the entire à la recherche de temps perdu, remembrance of things past. The smell of turkey takes me back to every other Thanksgiving I had, and it even reminds me of those few Thanksgivings when there was no turkey, and I remember it, and I hold it close. I have a favorite Thanksgiving, and it was a Thanksgiving in Tunisia. You are never more American than when you're not in America. And it was really important to us Peace Corps volunteers to celebrate Thanksgiving and to share it with our French and Arab friends. And so we went out and we found two of the most pathetic turkeys you have ever seen, because turkey is not a North African tradition. In fact, the word turkey for the Turks, they were occupied by Turks, is problematic, and also there's some other etymological problems with it. But we found two scrawny turkeys, and we nursed them and fed them and got them up to the size of a Cornish game hen or two. And then we went to the bed breaker, because nobody's oven could accommodate turkeys. So we went to the bread baker and had him seal them in and lock them in. And then, this is one of my favorite moments, and for you new people, this is a test. If you can get past what I'm about to say, you can come back again, because it's absolutely true. My wife, on my way out to do shopping for our Thanksgiving feast, said, "Honey, don't forget the gonorrhea." Now, what you have to know is that gonorrhea is the North African Arabic word for artichoke. So she wasn't really asking me to do anything indecent. She was just saying, and I went back and I said, you know, either ask me all in Arabic Zivna Shvoya Gonorrhea, or ask me artichoke, or ask me artichoke, but keep it in one language, because the shakshuka, the mixed salad of language, is not always pretty. I have other stories that I will not tell that are much worse. But it was one of those great times where we were sharing, and that's what it's about. It's about sharing from community to community, and sharing as our breads, sharing food, and sharing hope, and sharing the experience that people from all different kinds of backgrounds and religions, and even people who were co-religionists who were at different levels and depths and understanding, all get together in that fundamental, really primal act of sharing food and generosity, opening up our homes and our hearts. And that's what Thanksgiving is about. It's also a time for just a little bit of introspection. When we think of the pilgrims and they're leaving England and then later on leaving Holland in order to at least try to achieve the hope of religious freedom, even if it was only for them and not for anybody else and not for the what we used to call them, the Peace Corps, the host country nationals, that's still a question of values. What do we have in our lives, in our values, that is precious enough for us to give up everything and to go across an ocean to a very uncertain future? Are there things that we hold so dear that we would seriously ask ourselves if we would give up everything? I'm not talking about easy political stuff with, well, if they pass the bill, I'm moving to Australia. They elect this guy, I'm moving to Canada. Australia and Canada are quaking at all the people who are heading there. I'm not talking about that kind of easy rhetoric. I'm talking about the real stuff. Thanksgiving is an opportunity to go inside a little using the din of the football games and the mantra of families talking, engaging, fighting, discussing, to go into a kind of tryptophan-induced alpha state and really think about what is precious. What is precious in the bounty of life here? And how to understand bounty, as the pilgrims did. They gave thanks for bounty. They were starving to death. They lost 30%, over 30% of their number in the first year, and they were giving thanks. Wow. Human beings, we are something. Yes, there's all the dark side of what we can do, but we are something. In order to find hope and thanksgiving and gratitude in the most difficult of circumstances, it is what is truly noble in our nature. And it's the sort of thing that we can look at, and as E.E. Cummings talked about the ember of the heart, to take this ember of hope and of hopefulness, of faith and of faithfulness to life and to each other, and fan it into a flame so that it becomes a light, a beacon, a flaming chalice that draws us forward in joy, in realism, and in thanksgiving that we have this beautiful, sacred world, and it is not finished. It needs us to see it, to appreciate it, and to make it better.